Hebrews chapter number 4 tonight, Hebrews chapter 4. The subject we're going to deal with tonight, I believe, is very, very important in the life of a Christian. And yet, somehow we miss it, and we're really missing out when we do. How would you like to have a life that's just not full of stress and anxiety? Anybody? I got one person. Praise God. Rest of you like having stress and anxiety? Huh? Or none of you have stress or anxiety? You drive the freeways of Omaha, you might have some. Okay. Seriously, I think there's something that God has here. So let's read this chapter and see if we can make some sense of it all. As we go back, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, they to whom it was first preached entered not in," notice why, "because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." That's my title tonight. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us pray tonight, especially for wisdom and understanding. Father, we, Spirit of God, we need you tonight. And that which is said, that which is brought into the hearts and minds of your people, that it might be right, it might be proper, it might be that which elevates their very being. God, tonight, just bless in these moments. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe Hebrews brings us close to the reality that we can lose our profession. And when I say that, please understand something. We're not talking about our possession of eternal life, because that is secure in Christ. Amen. But our profession, in other words, what is professed to the world about us? That is something that we can lose with a bad testimony. Most of the previous chapter chapter 3 speaks of Moses' generation that never entered into a rest. Interesting. The rest of crossing Jordan that is spoken of is not death. Oftentimes, people speak of crossing Jordan, they're thinking about going into heaven. That's not really what crossing Jordan is. It's not death, it's not going to heaven, but it's the life of victory, overcoming the enemies of the land as they rely, or can I use the word rest, upon the Lord. We are relying, we're resting on Him. I think of Jehoshaphat. He feared the enemy, but he relied upon God's word. And when they went to battle, he sent the choir out in front, and because he was resting in the Lord. And they gave praise to God, and God gave great victory then. But as we look back to the generation during Moses' time, God was grieved with that generation. And the reason he was grieved with that generation is because they hardened their hearts against his promise at Kadesh Barnea. Their unbelief kept them out of the promised land for 40 years until they had all died. This, by the way, I believe shows death is not the rest spoken of here, though it will be our eternal rest. There is an eternal rest, but there remains a rest for the people of God. Notice verse number 9, and that's exactly what it says. There remaineth therefore rest to who? The people of God. The rest comes when in this life we step across Jordan, circumcise our flesh from the world, and allow God to give us the victories. You remember the story. God dried up or caused the waters to back up from the Jordan River, and they crossed over. That was an act of faith, was it not? And as they crossed over that Jordan, now they're in the land, and they have enemies in that land. And what's interesting to me is, it's at this point that God says you need to circumcise all the males. And I think to myself, that seems kind of weird in a sense, because these men would all be sore and battle would not be a good option for them during that time. And yet they did that by faith, believing God would protect them during that few days. But there was an eternal rest, a rest for the people of God. And that was as they relied then upon God to take them through all the battles of life. Do you have battles? Who doesn't? Do we have things that are burdens? Do we have things that are problems in our life? And what we find is we can have all of those things and have the rest of God. We can have that kind of rest. We can have that kind of reliance upon Him. And it's interesting that we are exhorted then to labor to enter into that rest. Matter of fact, it's a matter of laboring to build our faith. Go back to chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "And to whom sware he that they should not enter into rest, but to them that what? Believed not." And then in chapter 4 and verse number 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." What was the problem? Why didn't they enter into rest? Because they did not believe God. And so when he tells us we ought to labor to enter into that rest and to hold fast to that profession, I mean to hold on tight to that. In other words, building our faith is what God wants us to do. And how do we build our faith? It's interesting, this chapter, and I'm going fairly quickly with all this, but as we look here, we find something. There are two things that God gives us here on building our faith, I believe. One of those is found in chapter 3 and verse 13, and then we find it again in chapter number 4. But we go back to verse number 13. It says, exhort one another how often? Daily. While it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do we need constant reminders to live for God? Do we need somebody to pick on us just a little bit that we might go in the right direction day after day? Do we need to hear some preaching? Do we need to hear some teaching? Do we need to certainly hear of the Word of God? And so I believe that we have daily exhortation. Verse number 12, it's basically the same thing. As we find there where it says, for the word, I'm in the wrong spot, I think. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What do we need if we are going to be exhorted? We need the word of God. Amen? It's so important in our lives. And so we must hold fast our profession. It says it again in Hebrews chapter number 10. And says, without wavering, that he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And we need to be exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Daily exhortation. We need help from each other on that kind of basis. Thank God for Christian friends that help us through the different times of life. Amen? Now, I realize in this room, we're smaller than on a Sunday morning, but we stop and think about it. You're not good friends with everybody in this room. You're good friends with maybe two or three folks. You know the others. But those two or three can be a tremendous blessing and help in your life day after day after day. And we need that from each other. Because every day is a new attack to subdue us. Every day is another mountain that needs to be climbed. Every day is new ground to cover that we've never seen before. And we need that exhortation that we might go forward in our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're social creatures, amen? We're designed by God. We have an interdependence that must be exercised. There's an old adage that says, united we stand, divided we fall. And we think of that in our circle of Christianity. It takes on, I believe, a new meaning in this daily venture. How we must unite together. It is mighty good when you have a problem or you just need some encouragement that you can call somebody. Listen, we have means today that the people didn't used to have. I mean, all we can call, we can text, we can Facebook so everybody else in the world can see it. And I mean, there's just all kinds of ways that we can make that communication and get back to us that which is needed in our life. I believe it's foolish for a man who does not heap godly counselors about him. We all need some good friends. We need some people we can bounce things off of. We need some people we can just talk to about the things of God. I'm so thankful for my good friend, Brother Steve Ziner. And that friendship is built through the years more and more. And we talk at least once a week. Years ago, I developed a friendship with Brother Al Wells. And he was like a daddy to me. And he'd call me up and ask me for my advice. And I used to kind of, why is he asking me? I need to be asking him. And we would run over some things and what have you. I remember one time he called me up, and he was in the middle of a tremendous battle. His wife was very, very sick. And he said, Gene, I'm having a really hard time believing Romans 8:28 right now. And so gives me opportunity to talk to him and just seek to encourage him in that. And we need that kind of counsel. Bible says where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so we need each other. Amen. We need that help over and over. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Not only do we need to have daily exhortation, we need daily entreatment to God. And when I say entreatment to God, I'm thinking about especially verse number 16, where it talks about coming to the throne of grace. But let me back up with you for just a few moments. And let's go back to verse number 12. It's interesting to me that he talks about laboring to enter into the rest, lest we fall after the same example of unbelief. And the very next verse says what? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what do we find? We find that our unbelief can be turned into belief through the word of God. Is that not true? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we need to allow it to open our eyes to our need. And when we see our need from the word of God, we don't always see our need. Have you noticed that? We look and say, well, I need a new car. I need brakes on it, or I need this, or I need that. But we don't really stop and look at the needs of our soul. And when the word of God gets into our heart, we can begin to see ourselves if we're allowed to do so. And then we have the opportunity, as we go on down through here, we have a great high priest that we can go through, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, he says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now here is rest. It's learning his word and relying on him to take us through. Finding out what his word is and relying upon that to take us through. It's seeking him and seeing the path that is there. This must be done on a daily basis as we walk through this life one with another. I encourage you, if you do not have a good friend to speak to and talk to, you develop that. Let me tell you how you develop friendship. He that hath friends must what? Show himself friendly. Amen. It's just a fact of life. And we need that so, so desperately in our lives. As I think about that one thing, it's just kind of off to the side a little bit. I mentioned it the other night. But a lady that Christy knows came to church. First time she came, she was just kind of greeted by a couple of folks. But last Sunday she came and a lot of folks went up and spoke to her. And she told Christy, she says, I've never had people talk to me in church before. That's never happened before. And what can win over people? Friendliness, amen? And listen, the one you win over might just be the one you really need to rely upon to help you in this daily walk with the Lord. So I encourage you in that area. Father, tonight, thank you for your marvelous word. Thank you for the rest that can be ours, the reliance that we can have on you on a day-by-day basis. Thank you that we can indeed cross over Jordan, step into the promised land, and be in the place of rest, though the enemy is there, because we know that you will fight the battles and take us to victory. We pray that you might bless the remainder of this time in Christ's name. Amen.